Dear Shooter, reading directions, listening to directions, and following them is not only key to success, but also your safety. No matter how experienced you may be with shooting, or in your line of work, accidents do happen. That won't happen to me, maybe your last words.
It's not about protecting the stupid, it's just, it is what it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a self-identifying llama. And it's because I have a quick temper and I like to spit.
You are not safe and you are not sacred and you're both liars.
We're talking about firearms, y'all.
Keep it clean.
I can hide one under there.
One what? I don't want to know.
I look like I got ran over by a paint truck on the way to Sherwin-Williams and then backed over by the short bus.
You know, let's talk about the modern trends in transsexual transitions.
Welcome to the Dear Shooter podcast. Dear Shooter is brought to you by WyoTac, empowerment through self-reliance, and by Lucid Optics, on target, under budget.
Wow, it smells like Thursday. And I'm going to do something I haven't done in a while. I'm actually going to reintroduce all of my co-hosts here. We got Brandy Crotto, Lucid Optics, and we have Jason Wilson, CEO of Lucid Optics.
What's that make you?
Absolutely
nothing.
A face made for radio. So, based on that intro... Who did what stupid by not following directions?
Oh, my God. So we were all coming home from the FNRA banquet in Fort Morgan, Colorado. Mm-hmm. Decided to take the I-80, which no one likes to do in the wind, but I-25 crosswind would have got us. 70 miles an hour plus. So we take I-80, which if anyone's ever been on I-80, that's where all the trucks are.
You know, I'm not sure because... Even I-80 trying to nose into the wind as much as possible, I'm pretty sure your car needs an alignment now.
Oh, I bet it does. So about reading directions, it's posted everywhere. We get to Cheyenne, it's posted everywhere. If you are underweight and you're high profile, the road is closed to you. How many people listened? No one. No one.
It was bad.
So Wyoming wind is no joke.
It's not.
And when you're driving down the interstate at 70 miles an hour, it's more of less of a joke. I watched campers get blown over and destroyed. Semi tractor truck trailers. Okay, they may have been driving empty, but they could not keep it on the road, and they got blown over and took a nap.
Mm-hmm. If you're driving empty... You're not heavy enough, and I know for sure your camper's not because I saw what you were pulling it with.
Yeah, 50,000-pound gross weight was the limit for the road to be closed on.
Right.
And I'm driving a Subaru, and it was a challenge at some points in the road to keep it in my lane.
You should have been driving our box. We're
your
in a 4Runner.
Oh, man. Horrible in the wind. I followed you guys for a while, and there was times where you guys chattered and crossed the line.
That's why he passed us. He was like, I ain't following that.
Oh, man. It was Armstrong steering there for some points.
And if you don't need an alignment, I'm shocked because that car was tilted and crabbing all the way down the interstate.
Mm. Yeah. No, she needs an alignment. And I told her that today. It was crazy. I mean, we saw, what, I lost count of how many semis we saw blown over. There was one point we saw, it was a camper that had blown off into the median, and it was in pieces.
It was destroyed. It wasn't just laid over in the side of the road there.
Yeah.
Well, there was one point you said, hey, did you check out that Jeep that's all over the side? And I'm like, no, I missed that because I was trying to record the semi in front of us because I was pretty sure it was going to do cartwheels any second.
It was pieces and a smear.
And so they advertised, what was it, 70-plus mile-an-hour winds?
75.
And when they put plus on there, they meant it.
Yeah. Oh, the gusts had to have been 80-plus.
It was incredible. What makes freight drivers think that that's a good idea?
The only thing that I can think of, and I do feel bad for them because they do have deadlines. Especially the guys that are shipping produce. Like, they've got 24 hours to get it where it's got to go.
No, I totally understand.
I get it, but
it doesn't matter if you don't make it.
Right. Find another route. I mean, yes, I get it. If to drop down to I-70 and go through the mountains, which this year, those roads really aren't that bad. You're an extra 4 hours. Do that and survive.
Well, we left Cheyenne, and it was kind of western. We chose to go that way because we would be nose into the wind most of the time.
Right.
We get up on top by Vitavu.
Oh.
And there was 100 semis that had pulled off and stopped. And the highway patrolman was doing nothing but rolling by and writing tickets.
Right.
Because they shouldn't have been there.
It was like driving through a victory tunnel for the football team.
It was nuts. I mean, they were just pulled off to the side of the road on both sides.
Well, and the lots that they had up on top for, pull off and check, whatever.
They were full. Completely.
It was 2 miles worth of straight parked semis.
And the guy that we followed through that, okay, so the box trailers were all pulling off and stopping, which was the intelligent thing to do. It wasn't the best place, but it was intelligent. The guy we followed through was box trailer, but he was not metal side. He was that plastic cover side, and he was swelling like a hot air balloon. And I'm like, dude, he's not even going to be in this state.
Well, no. You and I passed a box trailer, and his roof was coming off.
That was a little bitty, lightweight, like enclosed trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, typically, what I haul is the training trailer. I think it was probably a 16, 18-foot just box trailer.
And the roof blew off.
It was coming off.
So why did they not read? It was posted 30 sometimes on the highway.
I think that the mindset of, well, I can make it, I'm fine, set in.
Mm-hmm.
And they continue on. And a few more miles down the road, they realize, I'm not going to make it.
Some of them that realized they weren't going to make it were probably taken out by ambulance. Wouldn't be flight for life because nothing's in the air.
You're not landing a helicopter in that.
The entire rig was over on its side. I talked to a couple truckers in Laramie when we stopped. Caught them at the gas station there where we, used the restroom and got lunch and that kind of thing. And some of those guys, they have never been in an environment that was that harsh.
Really?
They were parked in the back lot, and they called their boss, and some of them said they quit. Some of them were like, I'm just going to wait it out. But most of them were like, I don't know what to do. I've got to get across the side of the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a 3-day thing. So it actually, the weather didn't take this out of effect until actually tomorrow morning for that area.
Yeah,
till Tuesday.
Yeah, it's like 2 in the morning.
I mean, if we'd have had any kind of precipitation coming down, that'd have been deadly.
We wouldn't have done it. We would have hunkered down somewhere and just waited it out. We know better, though. We live in it.
But we're in passenger cars, too. I mean, we slip through the wind a little bit better than
a little bit better, but what you're saying, though, if there was precipitation involved in that, if it was snowing and sleet and hail and all the nasties that we get, I'd have stayed put.
I mean, if you measured the wind and you applied hurricane level to it, what is that? It's a Cat 3?
I think it's even higher than that because you think about it, we were nosed into the wind doing 80 miles an hour. We had 75 plus mile an hour coming at us. So where are we talking, 150?
Those poor souls that did I-25 and had it at the side of them the entire time.
Right.
Because it was west to east. It was straight west
to
east.
And I'm not sure my car would have made it with crosswind rather than going in.
We would have made it, but we would have been able to do about 50 miles an hour.
At tops.
Like to be able to keep our wheels on the road. Now, let's equate this to shooting for a minute.
Well, there was a match held
there, Yeah, there was. There was a match going on that day. These guys are out shooting in 70-plus mile-an-hour wind.
So what's the mil hold for that?
Like 40 mils?
Yeah, you're not. It's not even in the scope.
I mean, you don't get that.
You dial your scope as far as it goes, and then you hold until you can just barely see the target in the scope. I mean, that's all you can do.
That's an RO nightmare.
Oh. Oh, can you imagine what the dust looked like coming off of the splash?
Next to non-existent because it disappeared so fast.
Right.
With all the other dust off the mountain coming off?
Oh.
I mean, there is no dust. It's all dust.
No, and right now, because we've had such warm temperatures, the ground is moist. There probably was no splash.
Not much splash.
So now you're trying to read trace. And in that kind of wind, and it's a dry wind that we get, there is no trace.
Yeah, our average humidity is 22%, y'all.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
I mean, it's great for long range. But part of it is that's why we do those matches here. Because it's the only place where you get to shoot in those kinds of conditions.
Well, it's the only place you can get to see that far.
Right.
I mean, when the conditions are nice, it's fun. But when it's not nice, I'd rather drink a beer and sit and watch TV.
It's pretty miserable.
We shot how many matches in this wind?
Oh, every match we've been to.
And Glen Rock. And this is a thing in Glen Rock. It is annually they have wind problems in Glen Rock for ELR.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's part of why they have that match there. I've done it in Pine Bluffs.
The ELR match in Glen Rock is not about precision. It's about I survived it.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree to that. It is a badge of honor to have shot that match because I survived it.
Right.
And I've done it twice now.
Right. I mean, driving in it's one thing. Shooting in it is a complete other animal.
Oh. And that's no joke because that's ELR. I mean, your close target is like 800 yards.
And you spend what in a match fee?
Oh, I think you're $350.
And then how much around ammo?
But you're into it. Probably $800-$900 in ammo.
And when the high percentage of hit rate is 40%,
yeah,
that becomes a waste of ammo.
It does. So, yeah, I'm totally with you. It's about surviving.
Not if you're good. Because, like, when I was... Now, I didn't hit it. But when I was at that ELR match, I did have a distance and a wind problem to where I chose something besides the target to aim at. And I barely missed the target, but, you know, it was a good guess.
And you were shooting in 40-mile-an-hour crosswinds. Now,
that's just a breeze. That's a Tuesday.
Right, but, I mean, you were lucky in the fact that they were pretty sustained and they were pretty constant left to right, so you had that going for you, so you were able to kind of calculate that. But your problem, and, you know, we can talk about this now or some other time, but you were shooting a second focal plane scope, and you ran out of scope. So you had to find something above the target as an aim point.
It was above and way to the right.
Yeah,
that was wind.
Yeah. Yeah, it was way. When you torched that off, and I'm standing there next to the RO spotting for you, you missed that target by, I would guess, somewhere between 3 and 4 inches. And that was a 2,500-yard target. And that's no joke, y'all.
I had 8 seconds to pull that last shot off.
I know. That is no joke. You were doing that under pressure. The RO's going, you've got, what, 7, 8 seconds?
And that's when turned it down to 6 and yell shit.
That's exactly what you did, too. And it damn near worked.
That's simply amazing marksmanship. Being able to adapt to that environment is critical. You never know what you're going to shoot in. And Wyoming winds are no joke. We might not have the humidity that pushes you around so hard, but we have the velocity for sure.
Yeah, no humidity at all. So in that dry wind, in that dry, nasty wind, and I'd like to say anyone coming to shoot the Night Force this spring, Brian Hunter, I suggest tons of water, bring your chapstick, have some lotion, because those of you not from here will become a raisin in the first hour.
I'm gonna throw another tip out. Coat your boots in silicone. And the reason I say that is day two of this match, it rained pretty heavily.
Oh, geez.
And this match is held on a place that has a high bentonite content. So that mud just sticks, and all of a sudden your boots weigh 50 pounds apiece. A good silicone spray will help shed some of that.
Yikes. Otherwise, what, 50 pounds a piece for your feet, 20-some pounds for your gun,
oh, the
ammo.
The great idea that all these guys had was to get these, like, little golf cart things to haul all their stuff around. Well, they were all stuck in the mud.
Like, literally stuck. Like, ROs had to go get them out.
Didn't you see, like, I had a baby stroller adapted to a gun cart?
Yeah.
Just abandoned it in the middle of the stage?
Yep, just left it. But well, and
he couldn't. He was up, you know, how you say, in the mud to your wheel wells. Yeah.
Yikes.
There were no wheels left. It it sunk that bad.
So when we talk about environmentals, this is obviously at the far end of the spectrum on a normal shooting situation. But it's a potential reality when you're shooting.
It is. And this is something that I talk about for somebody that is beyond coming and doing the beginner courses or the contextual courses or things like that for the first time around. They come in the really nasty environmentals, in the extreme conditions, let's pressure test it now. Because, I mean, let's face it, evil doesn't come when it's 70 degrees and sunny.
Oh, I don't know. When it's that nasty, they might stay home.
Okay, but this is Wyoming, y'all. when is it ever nice?
We have like 3 days in June that are pretty good.
Right. So, yeah, okay, 3 days of summer before it turns into hell.
Yep, yep, yep.
But, I mean, where are we at now? I think we're in second winter?
Yeah, I think we're second winter, first spring. I can't really tell.
It was absolutely beautiful today.
It was. It was fantastic. And it has been for like the last week.
And tonight, it's turning to shit.
Right. And it does that on a dime.
True. The higher the elevation, the faster the weather changes. We live at a little over a mile. It happens pretty quick around here.
It does.
And that's why I want to point out, when you're at a match in this area or this type of weather, listen to your ROs. They're giving you direction for a purpose. We had a stage that the fog rolled in so thick, you couldn't see the targets. The RO couldn't make a call. People were like, screw it, gonna shoot it.
Shoot it what?
Yeah, and
the RO can't make a call, yeah, and he recommended nobody shoot.
Right, and that one really upset me because it was squads trying to basically play through like you would in golf, right? Because our squad's sitting there going, we can't see the target. Why are we going to even shoot? And they're like, we'll take a whack at it so we can get ahead. To do what? To get backed up against the squad in front of us?
So why don't you save your money and don't shoot it and just take a big egg and walk on? Because you're going to get an egg anyway after you spend $100 in ammo.
But they're gonna bypass our squad to get backed up against the next one.
They just wanted to get back to their camper, y'all.
I get that. But you know what? We were all out there embracing the suck.
True.
So go back to your camper.
I mean, it was, and that was another one. Like, the wind was blowing 40, 50 miles an hour. The rain was coming in sideways. It was almost sleet. The fog was so thick, you couldn't see the targets. And then in your optics, as soon as you laid down because it was coming straight at you, your optics are gone because they're misted up now. And I don't mean fog, because, I mean, we're all using good optics that are fog-proof, right? But it's that rain speckle on your front lens. You can't see anything.
Yeah, environmentals hit, and you cloud up. You're done.
Right.
You're absolutely done.
So you can't see through your optic. You can't see the target through the fog. What are you shooting
when
at?
When the RO says, I recommend no shooting, he recommends no shooting. You know what? He's the boss.
Right.
No shooting.
He's the voice of reason. Well, the guy with the little red and blues on his Ranger, he's the boss.
Right. But when the RO's going, well, you can shoot, but I can't call it because I can't see it. That's a clue.
That is a clue. Straight up clue.
Directions.
And it's always directions.
I recommend people to start reading directions now on absolutely everything you own. Because they've gotten so stupid now, they tell you not to eat the Tide Pod, not to eat the battery, not to...
Those things are only there because somebody did it.
Right. Now, okay. I know you guys include instructions in all your optics.
We do.
I saw a warranty come in today that it was a matter of turn the diopter the other direction and the reticle becomes clear.
Yeah, we had a guy that he's a super nice guy. He's a great customer. And he sends an optic back because the reticle's blurry. Pull it out of the box, twist the diopter, reticle's crisp and clean. Call him up, tell him what we did. And he was so embarrassed. Poor guy.
directions. All directions.
It is all directions.
Nobody reads them. Men are the worst.
Well, 90% of all the truckers we saw on the interstate were men, right? And the overhead sign that says, hey, this road's closed to everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
They decided to drive past because of stubbornness or whatever male affliction we're talking about. And they got stuck on top. And I don't know. They may still be there.
They probably are.
That won't happen to me. I'm experienced.
You'd stop?
I'd stop.
Well, you know, it goes back to another discussion that we've had on this podcast. And you have to make room in your head for it can happen. And it can happen to me. Pay attention. And especially, you know, you talk to these guys in Laramie that have never been in that kind of conditions. They'll remember that for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely.
And they're going to see, ooh, man, 40-mile-an-hour winds. I ain't going there.
I talked to one guy. I was like, so how are you handling the wind? He goes, oh, I'm fine. I've got 100,000 pounds of bolts and washers in my truck. His ass was heavy.
He was probably fine.
He was going to be just fine. But he also then caveated saying, I'm driving 30 miles an hour.
Right. Right. And we see that a lot, and especially here. And not single anybody out, but I see this with women especially. They're driving the big SUV tank, right? And they think that as soon as they put it in four-wheel drive, they're invincible.
Soccer mom.
I'm sorry, guys, but four-wheel drive just means you have four wheels out of control instead of two.
My grandpa had it right. Four-wheel drive, he drove a two-wheel drive truck pretty much most of his life. And all he would say about four-wheel drive is just get you stuck further from the main road.
Right. That's exactly right.
And you can't fault him because years of experience and the logic there, that man was never stuck. He never went somewhere that he shouldn't have. Because if it got a little western, he just turned around and went home. It was nothing that important that he had to get stuck for.
I have been in a vehicle with you in places we shouldn't have been. Times when you tell me, okay, this is a cliff, this truck starts going sideways, you need to bail out.
I have said that to you.
I have had to perform a 60-point turn.
Yes, so when you can't control the angle in which the truck's driving down the canyon wall.
Yeah.
And you're headed downhill, so gravity has an effect. There comes a point where you don't have it. God has it.
And maybe you shouldn't be filming that.
Well, I wasn't filming.
No, you weren't, but we know somebody who was, and they end up rolling the truck.
Oh, yeah, that did happen. That poor guy. He was so excited to be here, and he was filming everything he possibly could. He borrowed a truck from the PH, and ended up rolling the truck on the canyon wall, blocking the canyon off to everybody else. It was good weather when he did that.
Right.
There was no environmentals that should have caused him to be sideways.
Right.
It was a dry road.
There were rocks.
Well, and
on
I will
the uphill slope.
And I will tell you this, and I'm speaking to you guys with these jacked up Jeeps with all the accessories. All of your technology is no match for topography.
Agreed.
You got to have a place to hook up that winch to get yourself out.
Mother Earth wins every time.
Every time. And she is nasty.
Can be. I got stuck a couple years ago driving on a two-track along a fence line, edge of the property line. And I'd been on this road 100 times before. Drove into this little bitty coulee of a canyon. And it didn't look like it was very deep. And drove into it. And it was past the windows. And instantly stuck in snow. Worked
it. Of course, he didn't put chains on.
Well, didn't think I needed them until then because the wind had blown the snow off of everything
else. Is this when you had to dig out with a kayak paddle?
No, it was the same couple weeks. I'd done that.
Men.
But had Brandy driving 60-point turn, got us turned around, and actually hooked the winch to the bottom of a T-post on a fence line and pulled myself up to the dry ground where I could grab a bite. And, it, you know, 5 hours in, the hunt's over. But we were good. We got out.
Well, you're here to tell about it, so I guess But, you know, I'm sorry. Bad decisions make good stories.
You don't know they're a bad decision until, well, the snow comes up over the hood.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you go, whoops.
Yep. Yep. And you got to have the experience to be able to make those decisions, too, because until you've had an incident, you don't recognize that there's a danger.
Right.
Especially with driving.
Right.
And a lot of those truck drivers, they drive in interstate driving all the time where there's not much of an issue. So they just power through it.
Well, and they're looking at it as in it was dry roads.
Super
I mean,
dry.
The road surface itself was great, but they don't understand the forces of 80-mile-an-hour winds.
No, it's pretty clear.
It's not just truck drivers, though, y'all. I read a story that today, because the winds are still humming today, that a small plane at Casper Airport got tipped upside down while taxiing.
While taxiing.
Wind took it.
That's unheard of. Pilots are usually pretty conscientious about wind. I mean, they manage it all the time.
Again.
Right.
It won't happen to me.
Well, you don't fly planes.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. The pilot. It won't happen to me.
No, fair enough. That is the mindset he probably had. I can make it.
And then if he did get lifted in that itty-bitty little private plane, what's he think he's going to do higher up? Because the wind does not get better.
Well, higher up he has grace. On the ground he does not.
No. No.
But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It won't happen to me. That mindset will get you killed, y'all.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm going to raise a glass. The 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, based in Vail, Colorado, high up in the Rocky Mountains. 10th Mountain is a tribute company to the legendary 10th Mountain Division, maker of fine spirits including bourbon, rye, and vodka, as well as being a generous supporter of the shooting sports and veterans charities. Support those that support us, and to make it easier, 10th Mountain is offering our listeners a discount. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 10% off. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company, whiskey worth fighting for. And all right, so we're talking about blowhards.
All right. Yep.
I've got one for you.
All right.
On a more serious note, the judgment came back on Wayne LaPierre and the NRA.
All right. So when he claimed he couldn't stand trial, right?
Yep. The judge apparently decided that he could. So he got to sit in a courtroom and was found guilty. Now has to pay $4.4 million back to the NRA.
Oh, that's pizza money from what he took.
I totally agree.
So he left with $17 million severance and ended up being able to keep 13 of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the punishment fit the crime.
I don't either.
I mean, as a member that paid my money, pretty much my entire adult life, and to watch an organization go that way and spend my money the way that they did, I'm still angry.
Well, and you're talking about his severance package. What about all the stuff he spent?
Right. I'm still angry because he did that with member money.
Right. I mean, on the one hand, it's no different than what most of the politicians are doing with our money.
I expect better out of the NRA.
Agreed.
And I'm a supporter of the NRA. I will continue to be a supporter of the NRA. I made a vow that when they would call, that I would not give another dime until he was gone. And when they called this last time after he had stepped down, I donated money.
I did the same thing.
I believe in the cause. I believe in the fight that we have to do because, let's face it, evil exists.
Mm-hmm.
And the Second Amendment is a limitation on government.
Agreed.
So it needs to be fought for.
I totally agree. Now, I have tempered my donations until I find out what now happens with the NRA. And I don't think anybody really knows at this point.
Yeah, no, I suppose that's probably fair.
I mean, you had the judgment against Wayne, $4.4 million. Wilson Phillips was also named and has to pay back $2 million.
Now, okay.
I'm not sure exactly what his severance is going to be, but I'm sure it'll probably cover it.
Well, the only silver lining here is those guys are gone.
Right.
Hopefully the mindset gets changed and they start being responsible for the members.
Well, who elects LaPierre's position? The board, right?
Right.
The board.
The board has problems as well. So what are we really going to get?
Well, I agree. And I think the first thing they need to do is they need to restructure the board. You can't have, what is it, 87 board members that really have no power. You've got a dozen guys that actually make the decisions.
Well, so an organization that big, there is a lot of types of board members. You will have the political ones. You will have the effective ones. And you have the celebrity ones. And I'm sorry for those folks that fit into the political and celebrity side, but you're there to get recognized. You're not there to make a difference.
Right.
Now, there are some exceptions to that rule. Don't get me wrong. But as a guy who ran for the board at one point, there is a lot of shenanigans that happen in the mindset of what's good and right for the membership that shouldn't happen. And it's born from the board's too big, flat out.
And I'm, like I said, I'm curious to see what happens now because Letitia James, the prosecutor, she's Attorney General of New York.
Yep.
Now, she had initially sought to dissolve the NRA. The judge blocked that and ruled that the suit could proceed. And that's where we are now. So what happens next, I couldn't tell you.
I think with enough admissions of a guilt that we've seen that they can substantiate and document, my personal feeling is they're going to have to dissolve their incorporation out of New York, reincorporate somewhere else, Texas, someplace free America, and get back to the business of working for the members. That means a restructure of the board as well. And that's a bunch of hot air until it actually happens.
Right. Now, I've seen a lot where, and I kind of agree with it. I think the NRA needs to get back to the basics of where they started, education, competition, advocacy. I think they've gotten almost too involved with politics. Now, they were our big stick for a long time.
And if it's not them, somebody else needs to be the big stick. The liberal engine is not letting the gun issue go away.
Right.
They're just not.
But at the same time, do you think that a lot of these anti-gun organizations, thinks Moms Demand and the Bloombergs, if the NRA goes away and the perception is that we lost our big stick, right? But yet they're still losing their lawsuits. And sooner or later, they're going to have to start being honest with their memberships that, yeah, we're not effective.
Back to hot air. Lots and lots and lots of it. At the end of the day, we're founded on a couple principles in this country. And most of it is based out of the fact that for the people, by the people.
Right.
Right? And the majority of folks, regardless of what the media tells you, believe in the Constitution and how it was written, because those folks had just come through some of the most heinous political oppression ever. We're going to get back to fundamentals. And if we don't end up with a bunch of neighborhood warlords, I'll be shocked.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to disagree with you on one point. You say that most people believe in the Constitution. I would argue that most people don't know the Constitution.
But the idealism of America, I think they understand. And if they actually read the Constitution, it'll reaffirm and validate their beliefs.
I agree with that. But I don't know. It's scary.
So you're advocating for neighborhood warlords.
I'm not advocating, but I think we're headed there.
I don't think we have but one or two situations. One, we're going to end up with that. Or two, it'll be a long, drawn-out process of a reset.
which means selling ourselves to China.
Yeah, you know, foreign policy aside, it's going to be a rodeo, and we have to do the cleaning of the house here.
Right.
So, I mean, we started talking out about excessive winds, right? And they blow where they blow. Politics are the same way.
You're absolutely right. And, I mean, hopefully they blow the right way, but I don't know.
You know, as our listeners, you guys decide. I'd love to see some comments. Tell us what you think, what's going on. And categorize it into a hurricane type of wind force, because that's what we're dealing with.
Woo, Cat 5.
You think it's Cat 5?
I don't know. I've never been in a Cat 5 hurricane. Have you?
Never been in a hurricane, just tornadoes.
You're tornadoes, yes.
I've been in tornadoes, and I've been in hurricanes. I will tell you, tornadoes are much more scary.
Oh, I've been in a tornado, and I was driving through Nebraska.
No.
And I know, right? And Nebraska's weird, right? And we were kind of talking about this when we were going to Fort Morgan. And you get away from the foothills of the Rockies, and it gets flat really quick. Like, we're still in Colorado. I can see Iowa.
It's really flat.
And I was telling Brandy, I'm like, I was going to Missouri last year I was teaching. And I'm like, I'm driving through Nebraska, and I can see Iowa, but it never gets any closer. What is with that?
I also told you on the way through Nebraska, because I-80 is flat and perfectly straight through the entire state, you can take a nap if you have those cars that keep you between the lines.
I did. I mean, I set the cruise and I set my, you know, stay between the lines thing, and I took a nap from Sydney to Grand Island.
Tun did the same thing. He drove out, watched a movie with a sun shield in the windshield. He didn't even drive.
There's like nothing out there. There's not even people, y'all. There's just nothing.
No, but you might find an ostrich.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you have my attention.
All right, if you've never seen it, look up Kevin Hart, Ostrich, Nebraska.
That's funny.
Look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
And it's almost as good as so there's an example that I use in my classes to talk about normalcy bias and how you have to make room in your brain for things that are out of the ordinary that you don't expect. There was an elderly couple driving through Montana, and apparently in Montana there is a kangaroo farm, and a kangaroo had escaped from the farm, ran out in front of their car, and it was like such a shock to them to see a kangaroo in Montana that they like wiped out in the median, in the ditch, rolled their car 3 or 4 times. Thankfully, they survived, but they were so shocked by that, they had no idea what to do.
That is on the outside of reality.
It is, but you know what? So is an attack.
Is it really outside of reality? It's wildlife-ish?
Well, one, you're in Montana. It's plausible to not ever expect a kangaroo incident.
Yeah, but it could have been a moose.
Moose.
I would expect a moose.
Grizzly bear.
So you deal with that situation just like you would a grizzly bear's in the middle of the road. And then when you do get pulled over and stopped, go, what the hell is a kangaroo doing here? You don't have to, like, ruin your life over a kangaroo issue.
Well, you and I went on a road trip, and we came back from Dubois one time, and we're driving along outside Crowheart, and there's this fat man standing on the side of the road.
Looked like he was waving down traffic. And big fat guy.
Big fat guy just standing on the side of the road. Come a couple hours closer, and it's a grizzly bear. He's standing on 2 feet, watching traffic. Well, shit. I mean, I didn't roll my car. I didn't freak out, but there was a fat man grizzly bear standing on the side of the road.
I'm assuming this was fall.
It was fall. Yeah,
it was. It was the year we had all the forest fires in the mountains, so the bears were getting pushed down.
He was getting ready to go hibernate.
He was just watching traffic.
Well, we do that. We were coming back from the range one day, and here's a cow moose off the side of the road, like in a place we never really expected to see one, especially that time of year.
True. Very, very true.
And I locked up the brakes, and dude, we got to get pictures.
So again, kangaroo. Weird, yes.
Very weird.
Do you have to go over the top and roll your car a million times?
Well, think about it. Somebody, you know, we see this. Like, the veteran hunters that we bring in, okay, they might be from Georgia. They might be from Florida, a place they've never seen an antelope in person, right? That's an experience. We see it all the time.
That's why I don't give my veteran hunters their ammo until I decide that they can shoot one.
Okay, Barney Fife.
It's so bad. For first couple of years, my hunter would shoot the first thing they saw, and it was still had milk on the lips.
Well,
I mean, it was just not good. But you're right. They're not used to seeing these things, and they get all excited, and all common sense goes out the window. I'm not sure we'd roll our truck, but a kangaroo, that's pretty. I mean, Montana, that's pretty.
Me,
weird.
I'd get the car stop and go, holy shit, I need to take a picture of that.
Right? I mean, that's where I'm at, too.
Wow. Kangaroos in Montana. All right.
I didn't know they could handle winter. I'm just.
Yeah, I don't know how it works. I read into the story and I found out that there's a kangaroo farm up there, and I was like, wow, in Montana?
Why?
I have no idea. Why do they have exotic game in Texas?
Because it's not so freaking cold.
But the point being, why? I mean, you have plenty of native species there.
Because some dude will pay a lot of money to go shoot Bill in Pasture 5.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm getting at, and that's probably what they're doing up there.
Weird.
I don't know. Maybe
I'm surprised I haven't heard about this.
I don't know. Maybe they're doing kangaroo boxing or something. I don't know.
I'd pay to go watch that.
I would too.
Brandy's just blinking her eyes. She thinks we're like really weird.
Read the instructions.
I don't wanna. I mean, I can read, but I choose not to.
There is read the instructions. I
didn't know you could read because you can't spell, and I thought those were kind of side by side.
But we've seen the freak out.
Bond phonics worked for me.
Brandy, you and I saw the freak out. We were. Coming back from Montana, from a wedding in Montana, there you go. But we decided to make a little side trip through Yellowstone. As we're going through, everybody is on the side of the road, out of their cars, taking pictures of a grizzly bear that's 70 yards away.
I'm like, nope.
Yeah, she's
keep
like
driving.
Yeah, she rolls down the window. She's taking pictures as we're driving by. I mean, a grizzly bear, we understand these things run at 35 miles an hour when they're upset. Somebody's going to die.
Yeah, that's not the teddy bear you go pet. No.
No, no. Bear hug is not what you think.
No. No, it is not. So we talked about wind. We talked about training. We talked about a match. What is the topic of this one? Absurdity?
Following directions,
following
I think.
Directions. All right.
And the people who don't.
And, you know. Right, because that comes back to, you know, LaPierre. We talked about him. He did not follow the charter of NRA, and well, now look what happened.
If he'd have left when Oliver North said, hey, dude, we're going to get in trouble. We should just leave.
Right.
He could have left as a semi-hero.
Yeah, he could have. Because if you look at the track record of the NRA, under Wayne's leadership, the NRA produced more membership, more dollars, and more results than they ever had in their history. Had he left in, what was it, 2019?
Yeah.
He would have left a hero.
Yeah. And, I mean, I hate to credit Oliver North with the voice of reason, but he had it right. It's time to leave.
Well, to be fair, Oliver North kind of gets it. He's been in that position a lot of times. I can think of no other man that has fallen on his sword more for people who may or may not have deserved it.
That's true. He's pretty savvy that way, if you think about it.
Yes, and that's part of why I think in certain circles, kind of revere the man.
I think I could drink with him.
That would be fun.
It would be fun.
I mean, the stories. Now, they probably wouldn't be able to leave the room, but...
Well, if you're listening, Oliver, I mean, open invitation. I'll pour your scotch. Come on.
Or bourbon or vodka. What else do we have on the shelf?
I don't care. I'll pour it for him.
Everything's, yeah.
I mean, the honest side of the stories that man could tell.
Oh,
shit.
Oh.
I'm in.
It'd be like 24 hours of just like, what happened next? Oh, wow, as yeah. my granddaughter says.
He doesn't have the clearance to tell you the whole story.
No. No. But those are the best stories.
True. Very, very true.
So, following instructions, right? Like,
yes.
Yes?
Yes. For once in your life. For God's sakes.
I follow your instructions.
When did you become an optimist?
I'm not being an optimist. I'm yelling at him right now.
Oh, is that what that is? I thought you were giving him direction.
See, I'm not
would.
Supposed to yell really loud because, you know, it throws the sound way off the barriers, and, you know.
Yeah, but it's when she gets quiet. That's when she's most dangerous.
We all know this. But I mean, she's being the optimist, saying, follow instructions as if you will.
I follow her instructions. I don't read the instructions.
Does he follow your instructions?
Eh.
I mean, I've been around you.
Usually after I failed twice.
I've been around you two for about a minute, and I'm like, no, that's not the case.
You're in the same boat.
You are.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that right the fuck alone. Because you are both so fucking delusional right now.
See?
Yeah, that's why he won't answer.
No.
So I guess at the end of the day, go shoot in the wind.
Yes.
Don't pee in the wind.
Well, make sure you know which way the wind's blowing before you pee.
That's messy.
Yeah. Generally, if you're peeing the wrong direction.
Messy.
Pay attention to the signs. When the road sign, the light up road sign tells you, don't drive on this because you'll die, listen to it.
It's a clue.
Don't steal funds from your 501c3.
You will get caught every time.
Go shoot a match in really shitty conditions because it's a great experience. And you'll have stories for years.
And you might learn something.
You might. You'll learn that rain plus wind plus fog really sucks.
And we only share this with you because we've done it. We're not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer.
But we've done it, which at the end of the day proves you're capable.
True.
If you want to ever put your skills to the test, go and do that.
Agreed.
Find the non-optimal, non-user-friendly conditions, and go try out your skills in that.
Pressure test.
We talk about pressure test all the time. What better way to do it?
There's not too many ways that are better than that.
No. So go do it. And if you fail, just blame your gun.